Hello everybody, my name is Ron, and this is Ron's Gadget Talk for Tuesday, 14th of September, 2021. Or you can kind of call it the episode where we're going to pretty much talk about nothing but iPhones, and Apple's newest devices that they've launched at the event today, earlier today. And they've released quite a lot. If I count correctly, 5 new devices and a couple of extra goodies. And all, and it's pretty cool that we're getting to see new iPads, new iPhones, and new Apple Watch, and obviously what we've seen, the rumors, it didn't come out to be true. Obviously, I'm kind of suspecting. I will say this, and then again here I'm just suspecting, but Apple might have secretly dropped these sorts of rumors. That the iPhone's gonna have this and that, and in sort of it's a way for people to sort of you know confuse leakers or folks reporting on this stuff, and sort of maybe to generate a bit of publicity or a bit of a surprise. I'm sure that there could be behind it, but then again, it may not be true after all. It's just how inaccurate rumors and leaks kind of are. But I think one thing we can say about the iPhone 13, 13 mini, 13 Pro, and 13 Pro Max, like the 12 series, this is a S model year. This is, you could say, these devices are, and I'm not butchering my words here, it's an iPhone 12S, pretty much, all of it, with a few tweaks there and there, some improvements, you know, some bits and bobs that to make the overall, what the iPhone 12 couldn't be. On the flip side, however, there are some other things that we kind of got in the event that I'll probably quickly mention before we just jump into all these devices and everything that's kind of come out. Apple TV Plus was kind of shown off a bit. They just showed some of the shows that are going to be releasing later on. We kind of know what they're offering. Pretty good stuff. I mean, I've been watching Ted Lasso. I mean, I don't have Apple TV Plus, but you know, if you're a content pirate, you know how it goes. I've kind of been watching Ted Lasso, so. And it's pretty good for what it is. It's a pretty good show. They probably mentioned it quite a lot. Apple Fitness Plus, they showed off some new things. They now offer ability for people to do group workouts through FaceTime or iMessage, which is pretty cool. You get meditation workouts and that's all. And If you've lived in a market which didn't have Apple Fitness Plus, good news, Apple is planning to launch Apple Fitness Plus in more markets. So now it'll be available in 21 different markets by the end of this year, up from 5, I believe. So that's quite a considerable jump. That's basically about 16 extra markets. So if you live in Russia, the UAE, Spain, Malaysia, Indonesia, and Colombia, and Brazil, you're able to get Apple Fitness Plus, and that's pretty awesome. And if you live in those markets that have Apple One, I believe you should be able to get this included in one of the plans. And yes, you get Pilates workouts and all, which is pretty, pretty cool. So that's that, really. And if you already have an Apple device and you just want to upgrade to the latest version of goodness, I mean, iOS or iPadOS or Apple or WatchOS in general, good news also, it'll be available literally next Monday. It'll be available next week on Monday, 20th of September. That's something to look forward to. And if you have a MagSafe iPhone 12, literally, Apple made a pretty cool wallet case, improved with Find My functionality. So the idea is you could pop the wallet in, and if you sort of drop and lose it, you'll be able to find that wallet in the app, which is pretty cool to have. And then again, if you have a MagSafe iPhone, it's pretty, pretty cool nonetheless. But yeah, generally speaking, I mean, these are some solid new devices that we have over here. And you have a lot of, again, you have a lot of things going on. So first and foremost, we got to talk about the iPhones in general, and then we're going to go to the Apple Watch, and finally we're going to mention the iPads in general. So let's first talk about the iPhones, because that's what everyone's after, and I'm sure you're dying to know what what's so special about the iPhone 13, which kind of is an iPhone 12S if you think about it. But in that sense, let's get rolling with iPhone 13 and 13 mini. Now, we gotta talk about the iPhone 13. So we have the regular 13 and a mini. Now, we didn't see this coming. The mini, well, we thought the 13, 12 mini was like a one-off because they can make a mini, but obviously it seems like now it's a thing that they could offer smaller versions of the same device because there are people out there who want to buy a mini, and it's kind of important. But what you have here, as I said, compared to the iPhone 12, is a more refined regular iPhone that you can get. Now you have a notch that, and this is the one thing everyone's noticed, and I noticed when they showed off the phones, was the slightly smaller notch. Apparently, it is 20% small. It is basically 20% smaller in width, but just a millimeter taller, theoretically, because of a redesigned layout of the true depth cameras, with and the speaker sits obviously above the camera, not onto it, sort of above it, sort of completely. And now you have a bit more, a bit more nicely aesthetic camera. I mean, still a little ugly compared to the competition, but again, it's an improvement compared to the competition generally. Design-wise, it has the stunning matte, almost the stunning regular finish, a bit of a glossy back design. I mean, it's got it's all aluminium with glass at the back. You gotta mention it like Johnny Ive. So you got this kind of glossy finish at the back, glass with the aluminium frame on it, and a front ceramic shield, which is apparently, which is, and I quote, the toughest smartphone glass out there, which is interesting. Both phones come with IP68 water and dust resistance, pretty standard out of the gate. Along with that, if talk about the speaking of the front display, you have front Super Retina XDR OLED display. Which again on both phones is roughly, where's the sizes? 6.1 or 5.4 inches, 5.4 and 6.1 inches respectively. And it's a OLED display. XDR gives you a 28% increase in max brightness at 800 nits, but gets you a peak brightness of 1200 nits out of the gate. You have all day battery life over here. You get 2.5 more hours of battery life over the previous iPhone. The 2 hours extra, which is pretty cool. Generally, this does not have a promotion display like the Pros, but well, that's something to look at. Interestingly, we've got not one, but well, we've got a dual camera system that came from the iPhone 12, but with some improvements, as we've kind of mentioned before. First is a 1.7 micrometer wide angle camera. It's the biggest sensor that you can have in a dual camera system on the iPhone, and you can ca and it captures 47% more light compared to the previous sensor on the iPhone 12. That results in better low light performance and generally better performance and low in less noise, and you get even brighter photos generally. Sensor shift optical image stabilization is on the white sensor. This was originally on the iPhone 12 Pro Max as it is, but now it's on the 13 as standard, which is I think is pretty good. Generally, you have an ultra wide angle camera that now is able to do night mode without any issues, generally, and the photos you get here are pretty cool. Overall, again, the and you have Smart HDR4 over here, which is pretty cool, generally. And along with that, like the Pro, also generally software features wise, you have cinematic mode, which gives you sort of again uses computational photography, but that processing's for video generally. And the idea is that you have a depth effect and automatic focus changes. And you can get quite cinematic video, literally, and you can then edit it, obviously, post-recording the video in the settings, and video is made in cinematic mode or recorded in Dolby Vision HDR, which is pretty cool. And at 4K resolution, up to 60 frames a second on both wide and ultra wide sensors. And that's pretty impressive to say the least. Again, allowing all that computational photography, generally speaking. Yeah, photographic styles, which is, again, gives you the ability to set preferences with photos, and you can have your own kind of filter. But obviously, then it benefits from Apple's multi-frame image processing, where it will sort of work through all that complications and different settings and scenarios. And those settings are sort of saved in the background, so when you kind of flick through, you still take a photo and you get exactly the result that you see on the screen in real time. Again, that's thanks to the Bionic, the neural engine that's inside the iPhone 13, along with the ISP. And that's thanks to the A15 Bionic that that smoothly moved on and talked about it. Now, the A15 Bionic is the main processor on the iPhone 13. 5-nanometer chip. It has 15 billion transistors, 6-core CPU, 4-core GPU. The CPU is essentially 50% faster. I said 50 times, it's impossible, but 50% faster than the next best processors in the market. 30% faster graphics generally, 16-core neural engine, 15.8 trillion operations per second, which gives you faster processing in tasks like translation. Again, camera performance, computational photography, cinematography, incredible cinematography. It seems like you're shooting on a $100,000 camera setup, but actually it's just your $800 iPhone generally. And as I mentioned earlier, 15.8 trillion operations per second, giving you even more functionality throughout the gate. So that's pretty impressive, if you ask me, overall. Now, this also happens to feature equally fast, the same 5G functionality as on the iPhone 12. It's fast. It works on over 200 carriers across the world, in 60 countries, which is pretty impressive. And there is a smart data mode that I think comes with iOS 15, where you could shift, where, again, to control your battery life. If you don't need 5G, it jumps straight to 4G. Again, to control your battery life, which is pretty cool nonetheless. And as I said, you have, and when it comes to the look, you have that aluminium frame glass back in front, pretty cool, and comes in five stunning colors: product red, starlight, midnight, and blue, pink, and blue. There's blue and pink. Pink is a new color, which is a bit of a lighter tone and finish, and blue is a bit more sea blue, almost, you could say. It's not dark or bright as the previous iPhones generally. So, as I said, you have a decently impressive phone that does a lot more than, you know, the cheapest Oppo phone, probably, if you prefer to reference that. So pretty impressive stuff. We gotta talk about specs. I mean, if you read through the specs properly, we can get an idea about what we're getting these phones. So to start with, the iPhone 13 and 13 mini come, as I said, in those five colors that I've mentioned, and feature that ceramic front glass and glass back and aluminium design frame, basically, if you think about it. Overall, the phone, the 13 mini weighs 141 grams. The iPhone 13 weighs 174 grams generally. You have, the 13 has a 6.1-inch diagonal OLED display, Super Retina XDR, 2,532 by 1,170, with a pixel density of 460 ppi. Again, that's Retina right there. The Mini has a slightly smaller display, 2,340 by 1,080, 476 ppi, 5.4-inch display. Same tech as the 13, generally. You have HDR, P3 color gambit, True Tone is there, 2 million to 1 contrast ratio, 800 nits max brightness, 1200 nits max brightness generally with HDR on, IP68 water and dust resistance, A15 Bionic processor, two 12 megapixel sensors, a f1.6 aperture ultra wide sensor, a f2.4 aperture ultra wide camera, 120 degrees field of view, 2x optical zoom out with the wide sensor, the ultra wide actually, 5x digital zoom, with either sensor probably or the ultrawide sensor. Portrait mode with advanced bokeh and depth control. You have portrait lighting, you got night mode, you got Smart HDR4, deep fusion, photographic styles, white color capture for photos and live photos, lens correction, red eye correction, auto image stabilization, which is there, automatic, not optical. But you have sensor shift OIS, which is on the white sensor, 7-element lens on the wide, and 5-element lens on the ultrawide itself, true tone flash, and 63 megapixel panorama, so you can do that too, which is pretty cool. And you have 100% focus pixels on the white sensor. As for video recording, you can record videos with cinematic mode on at just 1080p at 30 frames a second, generally, with shallow depth of field. But you switch that off, you can record at HDR Dolby Vision 4K resolution up to 60 frames a second. You get up to 4K 60 video recording. Sensor shift on white sensor also for video, so that's included. 2x optical zoom out for video recording, that's included. Slow-mo at up to 1080p, 240 frames a second. Cinematic video stabilization up to 4K, 1080p, and 720p right out of the gate. And you can record either HEVC and H.264, which is pretty cool. Front camera, and I think the Apple didn't talk much about that because it's kind of interesting. 12 megapixel f2.2 camera. Portrait mode is there. Portrait lighting is there. Animoji is there because it has that, you know, Face ID sensors. Deep Fusion, Smart HDR4, photographic styles included. Cinematic mode, that's FHD at 30 frames a second only. But you could record at up to 4K 60 frames a second with Dolby Vision HDR on front sensor. Pretty good, if you ask me. And some extra bits and bobs off the rear cameras generally. And you got Face ID supported. Obviously got to have that with the true depth cameras. The iPhone 13 generally supports all bands of 4G and 5G. If you're in the US and markets where millimeter wave are supported, millimeter wave is supported out of the gate, all bands. So that shouldn't be an issue. Sub 6 and millimeter wave is available. Gigabit LTE is available. Wi-Fi 6, Bluetooth 5.0, ultra wideband for AirTags and all, NFC, and Express cards are supported if you're into that kind of stuff. GPS is available, along with GLONASS, Galileo, QZSS, and Baidu, which is pretty good, generally. And, you have, again, you have quite a solid set of specs, if you look at it, generally. In terms of battery life, now, they don't mention battery sizes, but they tell you overall battery performance. So you can expect up to 17 hours of video playback, 13 hours if you're streaming it on the Mini, 55 hours of audio playback generally, and a little bit more, so 75 hours of audio playback on the main 13 phone, 15 hours of streaming video, and up to 19 hours of video playback generally on the iPhone 13. You can charge with MagSafe at up to 15 watts, Qi charging up to 7.5 watts, fast charging with a 20 watts or higher adapter, so that's pretty cool to see generally. And it will come built in with iOS 15, like all other iPhones, the gate, but it's quite detailed. And here's the best part in terms of environment, they're not adding bubble wrap to the outer display, the outer packaging, so that cuts out a lot of plastic waste in general. About 600 metric tons of plastic. I don't know how they're still able to seal it from being voider, but I'm sure they have some wacky solution, or they'll get more efficient with overall packaging. So the idea is that they'll put you'll still have stickers and all, but then again, that's less waste that you can get recycled versions and all that kind of stuff. And obviously, suppliers eliminate waste sent to landfills with these devices. So if they're packaged and made, that again, they don't chuck a lot up in the waste. Obviously, that's kind of smart because, you know, people could go in and, you know, make fakes and all that kind of stuff. It's real. But again, it's not wasted or burned, which I think is a good thing. The iPhone 13 will start at about $699 for the Mini base spec. That's I forgot to mention this is the other point. The iPhone 13, 13 mini come in 128, 256, and 512 gigabytes of storage. There's no 64 gig variant. There's 128 gig variant out of the gate, which is impressive nonetheless. And this and all starting from $699 for the mini and $799 for the mini, that's in USD. Local prices and availability will vary from region to region. Do check where you live for the actual prices or information. If you live in the US, the UK, Australia, China, Germany, Canada, India, Japan, and 30 other markets where Apple has an online store and all, you'll be able to order this Friday from 5 a.m. Pacific time, and it'll be available next Friday afterwards. And if you live in other regions, you'll have to wait several weeks after that, so that's pretty interesting nonetheless. And that's the iPhone 13 and 13 mini. Let's just move on to the Pro, because the Pro is the bigger deal in that sense. Our most Pro iPhone ever. This is what Tim Cook stated when announcing the iPhone 13 Pro and Pro Max. The most Pro iPhone that you probably will get up till now. Now, this looks, for some people, it may look a bit more like the 12S Pro and Pro Max, like how the 13 was being a 12S. But this really is a bit of a jump in that you're getting a few extra goodies that you didn't get on the iPhone 12 Pro and Pro Max last year. And I will reference the iPhone 12 Pro and Pro Max. There were some things that were missing in that device generally that we really wished came, but they kind of were sacrificed, sort of, you could say, for other features like fancier cameras, 5G, and all that. Here, though, the 13 Pro and Pro Max, again, has some more improved functionality generally. So we're gonna start with design. It's absolutely stunning. It's different. It's different in a way. You have four finishes: silver, graphite, gold, and Sierra blue. Sierra blue is this incredibly light finish, very light. It's not too in-your-face blue like last year's midnight blue. It's kind of nice and clean, sort of. It's a bit. It has a light finish. It's quite pastel almost. So it's not in your face, kind of like the blue that was on the iPhone 12 Pro and Pro Max. It's surrounded, as I said, it has this kind of it's got this stunning, almost glossy aluminium stainless steel frame with a glass back and front. The back, on the other hand, is amazing. It has this matte finish, which is mad in and of itself. So that's something to look forward to, generally speaking. But aside from that, design-wise, and then you have ceramic shield here also, like on the 13, which is pretty cool. Now, the display is something of note. This is the first iPhone to come with it, and it's a big deal in its sense. The iPhone 13 Pro and Pro Max features a 6.1-inch or 6.7-inch, depending on the model, Super Retina XDR display, ProMotion display. ProMotion, which means you can have it has a 120Hz adaptive refresh rate display. The first in an iPhone. Wowzers. I didn't think I was going to say that, but pretty impressive. That was a shocker. I didn't think they were going to do that, but it's impressive. The first with a high refresh rate display. We've seen on the iPad Pros, 120Hz display. It's adaptive, though, so if you're just scrolling around, it runs at a slow enough refresh rate, and then when you're watching some videos, it's 30Hz, and then when you're gaming full on, 120Hz all the time. But it helps in preserving battery life, such that, again, it optimizes battery life, and again gives you a solid experience all around. So you have a 25% higher max outdoor brightness at 1000 nits completely. Good for HDR generally, and again, all around a top-notch display experience. And you get that improved notch with the true depth camera and all, which is pretty cool. Along with that, and about the back, yes, it has this matte glass back and a surgical grade stainless steel band, a kind of finish that again is resistant to corrosion, which is pretty cool. 20% smaller area to house the true depth camera. This is also on the other iPhones too, but it's pretty impressive. And again, you get IP68 water and dust resistance, which I think is a nice to have feature. You have 2.5 hours longer battery life than the Pro Max, the newest Pro Max. Gives you up to 2.5 hours longer battery life than the previous Pro Max. The Pro 13 Pro has 1.5 hours longer battery life than the 12 Pro, generally. And again, gives you same great 5G like the 13, generally, and has iOS 15 out of the gate. You have an A15 Bionic chip. It's the same as the regular iPhone 13 here. But then again, being a pro, you have a high resolution display and some beefy cameras, and you're able to take advantage. It'll do more processing easily in that. And again, you have a slightly bigger battery in that sense, so it'll take advantage of that without a problem. And we're going to talk about the cameras. This is where the iPhone 13 Pro series shines. In fact, ironically, and this is a true story, I mean, before I start recording this, mine kind of came in and sort of being like, hey, I heard the iPhone 13s came out. It's, you know, and I'm coincidentally, I was on the Apple page for the iPhone 13 and Pro and Pro Max, and I kind of mentioned it. I was like, yeah, I mean, the Pro is just, you know, it's this hype, you know, like it's great, but if you know how to use the camera, it's great. It's got a good camera, pretty much, and that's how it is. So yeah, I mean, I think this is the one that people make fun of most, but we're gonna talk about something that makes this device stunning, and that is the cameras. That's where you get the biggest difference with the 13, with the Pros primarily. This is what you get. You get pro grade cameras. All right. So you got three sensors, a 1.9 micrometer wide sensor, along with a f1.5 aperture out of the gate, a ultra-wide sensor also, which is there's no mention of f1.0 aperture, which is much wider than the previous iPhone 12 Pro Max, and gives you a 92% improvement in low light environments. And then again, you have and because of that, you could do macro photography, so you're able to take photos with incredible magnification of about 2 centimeters roughly, so that's impressive. So it could be that close, and you can capture incredible detail. We can see the sample shots in the press release. I don't know where they went, but again, pretty impressive if you ask me, overall. And along with that, you have a 77 millimeter telephoto camera that gives you a 3x optical zoom. So generally outwards, but overall you get 6x optical zoom range, so you can go three times in, 3x out, which is pretty cool. Then again, this is obviously all possible with the A15 Bionic's neural engine, which again does a lot of processing and computational photography to give you incredible performance and picture quality, which is impressive generally. Censorship OIS is available on both models, and I believe it's on all the cameras, that is, it's to be believed. It's just on the wide, but generally you get OIS on all sensors without an issue, but it's pretty cool. Now, speaking of software functionality, you have photographic styles, which I mentioned earlier with the iPhone 13. Smart HDR 4 gives you improved color, contrast, and lighting. Diffusion, Apple Pro RAW out of the gate, because it's a Pro, and portrait mode with portrait lighting, like the 13. Pro RAW processing is only on the 13 Pro and Pro Max, which I think is pretty cool. And you get cinematic, cinematic mode, which is impressive. And that gives you, again, you're able to change the depth and focus, and it does it automatically, and it's pretty impressive. If you see the videos about it online, and you see the sample videos Apple's offered, they should have it on the YouTube channel, if it is. You almost would be fooled. You'd almost believe that, you almost think that's not for an iPhone. That's actually been shot on an expensive high-end camera. And I think that's the impressive part about the iPhone in general. But generally, also, speaking of which, you get 4K 60 video recording on both models out of the gate. But also, you have ProRes for video. Now, if you know ProRes, it is used to record high-resolution video on high-end cameras, and now you can do it on the iPhone 13 Pro and Pro Max. so you could record in ProRes, and essentially Dolby Vision HDR is available on that too. So you get literally an end-to-end workflow to sort of edit and capture and process all at that resolution and HDR setting, which I think is impressive. I'm kind of stuttering because I'm kind of reading through and sort of seeing it. So it's pretty impressive. Then again, also, you have the same environmental impact that you get on the regular 13 phones, the iPhone 13 series, which means no bubble wrapping, no plastic wrapping, and then again, no extra waste generated from producing the phones in the factories. It was pretty cool, literally. So I can't explain it all, really. I mean, the Pro, but the thing is, the Pro essentially, if we look at it, it's just a more luxurious phone. Obviously, it screams Pro performance, Pro design, Pro display, and Pro cameras. What Apple really needs to do, if it makes a Pro iPhone, if you think about it, it's not just for flexing. You got stunning finishes. You got a high-res display, pretty bright, 3 ultra crispy cameras, LiDAR still included, 5G is included, and you got this. Again, it's pretty impressive. And it's got the same price as the iPhone 12 Pro and Pro Max, which I think is impressive nonetheless. But if you're about curious now, we got to go through the specs because, in detail, because we could see further detail about... and now the max storage spec is 1 terabyte, and base spec is 128 gigs. So you have the option of either 128, 256, 512, or 1 terabyte of storage. The first iPhones really to do 1 terabyte of internal storage. So you don't need to buy iCloud storage anymore to back up videos and photos. You can literally take them and put them on the phone as it is. But yeah, if we kind of go to the spec sheet on Apple's site, the iPhone 13 Pro weighs 204 grams. The Pro Max weighs 240 grams. Display-wise, the Pro has a 6.1-inch OLED Super Retina XDR with ProMotion, 120 hertz. 2532 by 1170 at 460 ppi Retina already. The Pro Max has a 0.6 inch bigger display with the same display tech, 2778 by 1284 pixels generally, with resolution with a pixel density of 458 ppi. Pretty impressive. HDR is available, True Tone, P3 color gambit, 2,000,000:1 aspect contrast ratio. It's about to say aspect ratio, it's contrast. 2,000,000:1, 1,000 nits of typical brightness max, and 1,200 nits of HDR brightness, which I think is pretty impressive. IP68 water and dust resistant, A15 Bionic, the same as the iPhone 13. There's no extra changes, but it's the same. Okay, so you have a 3 12 megapixel sensors as always, but you have a f2.8 telephoto sensor, f1.5 aperture wide angle sensor, f1.8 aperture 120 degree field of view ultrawide sensor. And from all these three sensors, you can have up to 3 times optical zoom in, thanks to the telephoto probably, 2 times optical zoom out, so you can zoom 2 times out. Generally, you get 6 times optical zoom range. Digital zoom, you can go up to 15 times from there. Thanks to LiDAR sensor, you get night mode portraits, but also, and along with that, you have 6-element lens on the telephoto and ultrawide lens, 7-element lens on the wide angle. Sensor shift OIS is on the wide angle. OIS generally is available. Normal OIS is available on a telephoto and wide angle lens, which is impressive. Sapphire crystal lens cover, not regular glass. Sapphire here, so that's something to note of. Night mode, 100% focus pixels on the wide angle sensor. And about macro, yeah, and you get macro photography because of that, because of the wide angle sensor. But it's pretty impressive. You could do cinematic mode for recording videos at up to 1080p, 30 frames a second. There's no mention if it can do 4K, but then again, you can. It should be available in a future update, or a future iPhone could give you cinematic mode at 4K resolution, which I think would make it truly cinematic. You could record it up to 4K resolution at 60 frames a second with Dolby Vision HDR switched on. ProRes recording is available. Video format, ProRes format, at 4K, up to 4K resolution at 30 frames a second. If you have the base spec Pro model is limited to full HD at 30 frames a second to prevent it from taking up too much storage and eating up too many gigs for real. So that's something to look for. And also you have the same OIS functionality for video recording, which I think is cool, along with extra features. And also, if you don't want to use ProRes, you can use HEVC or H.264, which is impressive. You get the same 12 megapixel true depth camera like the regular 13 generally. And you have a true depth sensor, which is pretty cool. 5G and 4G bands, all of them are supported on these phones. You have Bluetooth 5.0, Wi-Fi 6, and ultra wideband out of the gate. NFC is also available, and GPS is included. And as for battery, for the Pro, you could do up to 75 hours of audio playback, up to 22 hours of video playback, up to 28 hours of video playback on the Pro Max, up to 95 hours of audio playback. So you can listen to my podcast for up to 95 hours, literally, downloaded on the Pro Max. So that's Pro Max Flex. You know, you could literally listen to stuff for days if that's what you want to do. You don't want to open the camera or use Instagram. On top of that, you can charge with MagSafe up to 15 watts, a 7.5 watt Qi wireless charging, and you could charge, you could do fast charging with a 20 watt charger or higher, so that's interesting nonetheless. It's available in either 128 gigabytes, 256, 512, or 1 terabyte of storage, 128 to 512 gigabytes of storage, and a 1 terabyte variant. Which, if I read up the, if I see the prices, we're going to first mention the 1 terabyte spec price, because that's something people want to, will be talking about for funsies. But in case you're curious, this is picked up model. It'll cost you $1,500 for the Pro, and $1,600 for the Pro Max for 1 terabyte. If you're adventurous, that is, with 1 terabyte of storage. But aside from that, the iPhone 13 Pro and Pro Max are available at the usual price, like the iPhone 12 and 12 Pro Max, like last year. Pro starts from $999. Pro Max starts from $1,099 USD, and obviously go up in price to $1,500 and $1,600 respectively. And it'll be available this Friday, and it'll be available next Friday, again, like the 13 and 13 Pro. And 13 Pro Max. I mean, the 13 series Pro and the regular are both available this week from this Friday. And you can get it from next Friday. And there's some good trade-in offers, you know, like $1,000 off on select networks. If you, again, do check with your local Apple reseller or your carrier and all for more information about prices and what you can get in trade-in and stuff. So, pretty impressive set of phones and a pretty pro grade nonetheless. So now I've kind of gone on singing songs of praise about these two series of phones, the regular iPhone 13 and 13 mini, and the maxed out 13 Pro and Pro Max. Now, pretty good phones, but honestly, what are my thoughts about these phones? One thing I would say is that the iPhone 13 and 13 mini, and also you could say for the Pro and the Pro Max, they're just sequential updates. They're not like a big leap. There's no big game-changing functionality that you gotta run out and get them. So if you have the 12 series of phones, just my regular advice, unless you're able to get a good trade-in offer, or you'll be able to sell the phones or hand them down to someone else and go and upgrade them, it's not worth upgrading, honestly. If you're already very happy with your iPhone 12 and the 12 Pro, you're happy with the iPhone 12. I mean, you won't need the 13. It's not as big of a jump as it was like from the 11 to the 12. But you do get some improvements. I mean, OLED displays on all models. The Pro and Pro Max have a high refresh rate display, and the iPhone 13 and 13 mini have a regular OLED display. If you remember, the iPhone 11 and 12, I believe, had LCD display. Here you have OLED, which I think is a big upgrade, and now there are a lot of Android phones that have OLEDs and they're not costing like $1,000. So that's a pretty big upgrade, and I think the Pixel 6 will have a OLED display, so it's a comparably good upgrade in that regard. So if you care about that, then if you really are looking to get upgrade based on those little details, then this is something to look forward to. So the 13 has an OLED display, and I think that's impressive. So it's, again, a sequential update. It's not significant. It's not a big jump, but it's pretty good. The Pro, wow, it's impressive. Like, what can I say? It's impressive. What can I say? The cameras and display alone are a pretty big, are a significantly big jump with the software functionality, with the processing in it, the triple sensors, the fact you can do macro already on the wide and all. It's significant enough an upgrade to go for an iPhone 12 and 12 Pro and 12 Pro Max. If you own those, definitely you'd want to consider getting the 13 Pro and 13 Pro Max. I'm just saying, if you want to upgrade, that is. You're going to flex already and you need those pro specs, so this is pretty good. Nonetheless, the 13 and 13 mini, I would basically, as I said, like last year with the iPhone 12, the regular iPhone 13 will do wonders for everybody out there. The cameras are good, the display is good, pretty decently solid phone for what you get for $800. Generally, improved batteries, display, camera looks pretty good. I mean, you won't go wrong with this phone. I'd get the 13 as it is instead of the Pro, because you get quite a lot for your money for the with the 13. And you get good battery life at least here. So, and the Pro is pretty good, but it's, again, it's kind of overkill. If you ask me, I'm not into the Pros, frankly. So, if I would recommend an iPhone that you have to run out and get if you can upgrade, or just getting it new generally from, say, Android, the iPhone 13... 128 or 256 gigs of storage is impressive for the money. The 13 Pro and Pro Max are good. The Pro is good in itself, but if you didn't genuinely are going to fully utilize the cameras and the display, and you surely will, you can appreciate the Pro grade functionality, get the Pro. But honestly, the iPhone 13 regular, like I've said last year, will do wonders. Or if you're already happy with your 12 and you don't see any deal with these new phones, as always, you can wait till next year. The iPhone 14 series is looking promising from all the rumors that we're hearing and all the sort of the chit chat in Apple rumor world. That could be a big of an upgrade dramatically, so, and it will be in a leap year, so yeah. So I mean, you know, the 13 and 13 Pro makes sense if you ask me. The Pro is pretty good if you could appreciate the camera and the display. That's my recommendation. Moving on to the Apple Watch. So we were hearing reports about how the Apple Watch was gonna have this wonky new display, rounded like the iPhone and the iPad and the MacBooks. But what we got instead is a watch that is nicer. Thankfully, it's not the ugly looking, you know, square rectangular, you know, the edge, the kind of this flat edged design. It's still the familiar Apple Watch design you know and love, with softer, more rounded corners, according to Apple, with a unique refractive edge display. So it's almost edge-to-edge display. So it's quite edge-to-edge. You get 20% more screen area than the Series 6 on comparison, and thanks to that, it's available in just 41 and 45 millimeter sizes. So it's actually shrinked a bit. So the screen's gone a little bigger. So it's from 42 and 46, now we have 41 and 45, which I think is pretty good nonetheless. The display is 70% brighter. Now, there's no full specs written for this, sadly, so I'm kind of going off the press release, so hope you don't mind that. Sorry, burped. I don't know why I burped. But thanks to a bigger display, you'll be able to see even more. You get slightly bigger watch faces. And so if you've had an earlier Apple Watch, you know, it's much bigger. So again, for context, the Apple Series Watch 3, the Series 3 had a very small display compared to this one. You get 50% larger display generally, so that's pretty cool nonetheless. On that durability, you have IP6X dust resistance, so you could really take a beating in the beach and it will be beach friendly, let's just say that, you know, because, you know, life's a bit of a beach, you know. Anyways, you have a WR50 water resistance. Now, this is a bit of a surprise, because you'd be like, where's the IP68 in 6X? Why is it WR50? This is actually a watch, if you're surprised to hear that. This is actually a watch reference. WR50, according reading up on advice online, is it's this kind of general standard for water resistance. Instead of the IP rating, we have the, this is actually measuring atmospheric pressures, or ATM per meters, or bars of pressure in water. So the Apple Watch can handle WR50, which means it can do up to 50 meters of water resistance, which means it can withstand cold showers and swimming. And they mentioned it in their keynote, which I think is important to note nonetheless. So that's pretty good, if you ask me, for a watch, generally. You have all day 18 hour battery life, 33% faster charging with the fast charger USB-C plug. It's kind of similar, it's the same magnetic charger, but it's again improved with 33% faster charging. It won't be available on all variants of the Apple Watch that are available with different plug sockets, so you'll have to keep that in mind. We'll have to see about it once this watch is available, which variants have the faster charging. I think it's a voltages game probably in that sense, but you get faster charging nonetheless. This comes with WatchOS, and now there's no additional fitness tracking functionality in that sense, if you look at it, but overall you have blood oxygen tracking, ECG tracking, and electrical heart sensor that's there, so still great for fitness tracking generally. You have a mindfulness app where it comes with the WatchOS 8, which has those features, and also now offers fall detection of bikes and a cycle mode with e-bikes. So as I said, now it will measure you riding e-bikes accurately. So that's pretty cool nonetheless. And then again, it now can do fall detection with when you're cycling or doing workouts. It's improved a bit, so that's pretty cool nonetheless. And speaking of durability, the display is crack resistant. It's basically 50 cent thicker sort of than the Apple Watch Series 6, which I think is pretty cool. So it's just like it's just one of those Apple devices with a slight refinement. It's not a big upgrade compared to the previous Apple Watch, and it'll come in a whole bunch of styles and bands, comes in midnight, starlight green, blue, and product red, and you have the other styles that like graphites and and the Hermes editions that are also available, like the Series 6, and Apple Watch and Apple Fitness Plus works on this too, which is pretty cool. So the Apple Watch Series 7 starts from $399, as it is, like the Series 6. It'll be available later this fall. That's surprising, because this would have been available next week, but they're saying it'll be available later because of chip shortages and and we've heard about production issues. So that could be a factor in its slightly later release, potentially. But they had to get it out there to for those iPhone buyers. You know, they'd be like, hey, you might want to get a watch along with this iPhone. So that's something to note of in that sense. And finally, the new iPads. The 9th gen 10.2-inch iPad and the iPad mini that kind of came out, a brand new one. 6th gen iPad mini. As I said, we didn't see it coming. There were some leaks and rumors, but, you know, this kind of happened, so it's kind of great. We basically got a new 2021 spec iPad, regular iPad 9-inch. It has the same $329 price, but you get a few more things along with it. First of all, you have an A13 Bionic chip, which apparently is 3 times faster than a Chromebook and six times faster than Android tablet. Okay, cool, Apple. We see what you're doing, generally. Now they've focused, now obviously the target market for this for these cheap iPads is casual consumers who want this for remote working and learning and all sorts of things. Casual consumers, they're gonna pick it up and they're gonna start using it right off the bat, straight off the bat. And for that, you have a 12 megapixel ultra wide camera on the front with the feature called Center Stage, which came on the 2021 iPad Pro several months ago, where essentially on FaceTime and third party apps, you're literally in the view and you keep moving around. And so this is like thanks to sort of AI and it's on board, and It was on an iPad Pro, and now it's on a cheap iPad, $329 regular iPad, which I think is nice to have. Along with that, you have a 10.2-inch display, Retina, pretty good, with True Tone, first in its segment to offer it. Hopefully, it would be better than the previous affordable iPads, which have had sort of air gap and all those kind of things, which was kind of annoying for some people. And before, you had a 32-gig variant, which was good for some casual folks, and for some people where you could just do cloud storage or you move things across, you know. But now you have 64 gigs of storage straight off the bat, and you can, and it will go all the way up to 256 gigs. So 64, 128, and 256 gigs available, but it's pretty good nonetheless. And also it's environmentally friendly, so, you know. So 100% recycled tin and 100% recycled aluminium in the enclosure, which is pretty awesome. Not much to talk about, really. I mean, but again, you get double the storage, you get a better front-facing camera, you get a better display, sort of, a faster chip, and probably the same battery life or slightly better, all starting from $329 for the Wi-Fi variant and $459 for the Wi-Fi plus 4G variant. There's no 5G on this, so that's kind of annoying, nonetheless. So it's kind of good for casual folks. And then there was the iPad Mini. It's been several years since we've had an iPad Mini. It's kind of been shoved to the side. It was kind of an afterthought. And now, like the Air, like last year, we now have a new iPad Mini. Pretty impressive. It's basically an iPad Pro, but it's a smaller iPad Pro, if you know what I mean. And you can do so much with it. It's incredibly impressive. And it really, really is impressive what you're getting here. Right off the bat. So, to start with, it looks like an iPad Pro, almost. It has that design. It's more compact than ever, because it's 8.3 inches with a slight thick, you know, with a bit of a thick bezel, but still pretty compact for what it is. 80% faster performance, thanks to that high-speed A15 Bionic chip. You got an 8.3-inch liquid retina display, which is pretty impressive. You can get up to 500 nits of brightness, P3 color gambit, anti-reflective screen coating, True Tone. Again, you're getting a premium iPad experience for what it is. It comes in four stunning finishes: pink, starlight, purple, and space gray. You have Touch ID on the power button like the iPad Air. So it's almost smack dead between the Pro and the Air almost, but size-wise, it's less than the Air in that regard. Generally, it supports the Apple Pencil 2nd Gen, so you literally can put it on the side, which I think is quite compact. It's quite compact, and you can even tuck it into your pouch, if your pouch is that big. You get A15 Bionic like the iPhone 13 series, which is impressive, that is. You literally get 2x faster ML tasks, which is impressive. An 80% leap in graphics performance from the previous generation of the iPad Mini, for context. And 40% jump in performance from the previous iPad Mini. Pretty impressive. So you can do more now. You can do editing, you can take better photos, you can do better AI, which is impressive nonetheless. And like the iPad Pro of the 2021, yes, that spec, you get center stage with a 12-megapixel ultra-wide-angle camera. Pretty cool, if you ask me. You have a 12-megapixel sensor at the back, which will be decent for a couple of shots and a bit of AR and this and that. So that's pretty impressive. But we gotta get to the utilitarian part. The iPad Mini now has a USB-C port, like the Air and the Pro, which gives you access to a whole range of accessories, ultra-fast data transfers, and much, much more, which is impressive nonetheless. 5G is supported, which is impressive. So you could do a lot more with this. And being compact, I can see a lot of use cases. It could be quite a portable machine to let you do for productivity, for editing, for creativity work. If you're taking photos or videos, you can do quick edits on the go, and it's quite impressively fast, nonetheless. It features iPadOS 15, which gives you that, again, it gives you so much functionality compared to, say, the first iPadOS that kind of came out ages ago. For say the iPad Pro, the first iPad Pro, the first iPad Mini, which wouldn't even let you do high resolution video editing or high vector graphics or anything like that, you know, high vector graphics design in that sense. So it's pretty impressive, and it's quite compact for what it is. So again, it's quite impressive for what it is, and it really is, it's blown me away. This is an iPad I literally would get if I didn't care about size. Size matters, though, for iPad users, that's what I'd say. I get the iPad Pro regular, which is big in of itself. I'm happy with my iPad Air 2, but I'd get this iPad Mini just because of the price. They'll be surprised with the price. They'll be surprised with the price in general, I have to say it properly. The iPad Mini, Wi-Fi spec, 64 gig, as it is, $499, $500 for a Wi-Fi variant, and $649 for Wi-Fi and 5G. Impressive. I actually just checked right now. You can get either 64 or 256 gigabytes, which I think would make life easy. The maxed out spec is $800, complete with 5G and everything. Not bad, man. I mean, again, it's a good compact device to have. It's pocketable, unlike the Air or the Pro. I mean, it's pretty cool. I mean, the Pro is the real iPad to get, but this is also equally impressive. $800 maxed out. You got a lot for your money compared to the bigger and chunkier iPads in that sense. I mean, and this will be available. You can buy it generally from next week. It'll be available next week, but you can order it now from Apple's site. So that's something to look forward to in that sense. But yeah, I mean, we're literally nearing an hour. I haven't never made a podcast 1 hour long, but hey, it's a big. It's a big release, guys, so we're going to take forever to talk about it because we are obsessed about technology. But if you ask me personally what have been my favorites, favorite bits from the Apple event, probably it's got to be the new iPhones and the iPad, new iPad Mini, the first in several years. I mean, I've long forgotten when the iPad Mini was last released, but new iPad Mini, it's absolutely great for what it is, and I'm sure there are a lot of people out there who will enjoy having this iPad Mini. It's quite impressive, it's compact, it does a lot, and so much more. It's pretty good. The iPhone 13 is great for what it is. It's just a sequential upgrade, as I mentioned earlier, but it's great nonetheless. And the iPhone 13 Pro, Pro displays, Pro cameras, pretty good if you ask me. I mean, but it's also a sequential update, but impressive enough for me to be like, those are the high points of this Apple event. But the low point really has been the $329 iPad and the Apple Watch Series 7. There's nothing really. It's the same price as the previous variants, and there's nothing much to add on. So yeah, I mean, but it's nice to get. But the thing is, thankfully though, with all these devices, they've all maintained a similar price. They've been similarly priced, or they're been slightly affordable from their bigger brothers. And I think that's great compared to what we were hearing, that they were going to charge an extra $100 for these devices. But thankfully, it didn't do that. And I think that's pretty great if you ask me. Generally. I mean, they kept maintain the same price. They're just all sequential updates. So if you already have the latest and greatest devices, I mean, you don't have much to worry about, casually speaking. But if you want top-notch specs, the iPhone 13 Pro, top-of-the-line spec, pretty good. And the iPad Mini, gotta get it. It's pretty impressive, if you ask me, generally speaking, you know. But yeah, today's been quite a hot and dusty day, and I've spent a whole hour talking about Apple devices because, you know, we love technology, and, you know, it's kind of great. But yeah, what do you think of everything I heard today? Let me know. I'm on Instagram and Twitter and TikTok at @_mao99. Follow me there if you can. It's in the show notes if you've forgotten. Subscribe so you don't miss another episode. Obviously, one thing I will add is that Thursday will kind of be our last episode for a while, kind of taking a break about a month or so, and then we'll kind of be back in mid-November, and we'll kind of cover up whatever's happening on Black Friday and so on and so forth. But yeah, till the next episode, this is your boy Mao signing out. Peace, take care, stay safe, have a wonderful day, and yeah, thank you for listening, and ciao.